For Illinois Edition on NPR Illinois, I'm Rachel Otwell.
1 out of 4 human beings with their hands on bars, shackled, in the world, are locked up here in the land of the free.
Khalif Browder was walking home from a party when he was stopped by police.
Then they said, we're going to take you to the precinct, and most likely we're going to let you go home. And then I never went home.
13th Amendment to the Constitution makes it unconstitutional for someone to be held as a slave. There are exceptions, including criminals.
The loophole was immediately exploited. What you got after that was a rapid transition to a mythology of black criminality. Some people
got the real problem. Animals, beasts that needed to be controlled.
You better believe it.
Human. It became virtually impossible for a politician to run and appear soft on crime.
The kinds of kids that are called super predators.
Millions of dollars will be allocated for prison and jail facilities.
3 strikes and you are out.
It was an enormous burden on the black community, but it also violated a sense of core fairness.
All right, so that was a bit of the trailer for the movie, the documentary, The 13th. Voices that you heard there include... the last one was Newt Gingrich, who, of course, served as U.S. Speaker of the House, was a representative, Republican. Both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump make appearances in the documentary. Obviously, it's a politicized issue. Michelle Alexander, who wrote the book on mass incarceration and the war on drugs, etc., which is called The New Jim Crow, she is a big part of the documentary as well. And as well as people who have served time in prison. Your feedback on the film, you said that for you, it connected a lot. Tell us why, Kadeem.
I think it connected a lot when it comes to the current struggle of mass incarceration all the way down to, the first part of the black struggle, slavery. And I think the documentary did a really good job of bridging the gaps of how we got from slavery to Jim Crow to this political war on drugs and war on crime to where we are now when it comes to just mass incarceration.
And it criticizes the war on drugs as this very politicized mission that started with Nixon, but was propelled by Democrats and Republicans alike and helped lead to the mass incarceration of black men in particular, helped feed the prison industrial complex. I guess talk a little bit about the connection. You say it's a critical time now for people to understand this part of our history.
What the documentary really does a really good job of tackling is the new version of this war on drugs, war on crime really started in the 70s. And you have to remember that during this time frame, it was right after the Civil Rights Movement of the 60s and really in the midst of the Black Power Movement of the 70s. So it was the first time in a long time where we saw prisons as a tool of oppression for Black Panthers and also black liberation fighters. So we really saw a political climate where it became popular to have this rhetoric on the war on crime or war on drugs, you know, public enemy number one, when in actuality it was a war on black liberation fighters. And so we have that history where a lot of black activists were being placed in prison through different means and different tools of repression. And then we saw a great connection between that and also this current movement of mass incarceration. People are understanding, people are waking up, especially with Michelle Alexander's 2012 book, The New Jim Crow, of what our nation is really doing when it comes to mass incarceration. 2.3 million people are locked up currently. And when you include people on probation, people on parole and things like that, then that number is expanded to 7 million. And so when you look at the fact that America is supposed to be the home of the free, this mecca of democracy you see is really alive.
The documentary talks about statistics that say while we're 5% of the world's population, 1 in 4 prisoners are in America, 25% of the prison population. And 1 in 3 black men, according to statistics, will serve some time in prison.
It's extremely racialized to the point where we all know that when it comes to drugs, when it comes to crime, that, you know, across the board, no one is exempt from crime. But when we see prison, it's pretty much for black and brown men and women, and also trans and queer people as well. Just a way of putting these unwanted populations inside of a holding cell so they can be absent from our society.
You're listening to Illinois Edition. I'm Rachel Otwell. I'm joined on the phone by Kadeem Fuller. He's in Champaign, where he's a Black Lives Matter chapter organizer there. He's also a grad student at the U of I studying education policy. We are talking about a documentary that was just released. It's a Netflix original production, and it's called The 13th. It includes the perspective of many intellectuals, writers, politicians when it comes to mass incarceration and the prison industrial complex, and how all of this is tied to the racial divides that our society has seen since its beginning here in America. And even in the documentary, it really, to me, it does a good job of branching out to all different sorts of voices, including conservative ones like Newt Gingrich, who himself is critical of the war on drugs. Looking back, said, you know, this obviously wasn't a way to promote good racial relations in the country. And points, I think it was him that pointed to the example that a lot of people use. But it's true that for a long time, the penalties for cocaine versus crack were lighter, and a lot of people, you know, say that's because more white people were doing cocaine, and therefore, you know, their sentencing was just kind of coded to be lighter than sentencing for black people. So
exactly, and I think you really have a really good point. Especially, the documentary really had a good point when they talked about the disparities between crack and also cocaine. At one point in time, it was 100 to 1. And so now I believe the current disparity is 18 to 1. So it's a compromise, but you can still see that disparity, especially when you talk about that, you know, cocaine was considered a very rich drug. They had it in a lot of Hollywood scenes, a lot of, you know, high scale places. So it was considered, you know, just a misdemeanor still. And now when you have crack, just a cheaper version of that being criminalized to the point where it's been taking away people from their homes and families. And I think to go along with that, I think the war on drugs, the war on crime really changed the language of how we see race. Rather than having these terrible terms for black people, it became the criminal. It became a felon. So this language of oppression really switched from what we normally consider racist terminology to now just being criminal and just being, you know, a convict and things like that.
And Kadeem, in your analysis of the film, you say you wish there had been more said about prison riots, for example, and the fact that there were people like George Jackson and the Attica prison riot, which served as examples of people in prison trying to draw attention to the injustices they were facing as they saw them.
Like I said, I really think the documentary was really good, but I think it left out a lot of critical conversations around incarcerated people organizing for themselves. I think that's a really rich history of just so many. I don't like the term the riot, because I like the term, you know, social rebellions or, you know, libertarian rebellions. These people were a lot of times taken out by systematic institutions and placed in these cages, and essentially they had to fight for basic needs, like when it comes to food, adequate food, when it came to, you know, different human needs that they weren't getting in these spaces. And I think just going back to this whole conversation about, you know, it's interesting how we on the outside of prison, this whole society view incarcerated people, quote unquote, criminals. They deserve to be there. They did this. It doesn't really matter what happened to them. And similar to what the Black Panthers were doing and what happened to them, it's really become a media frenzy, right? When you look at the fact that the Black Panthers were doing the most revolutionary thing that they were doing was, you know, free breakfast for kids. I mean, they practiced a lot of self-dependency when it comes to protecting armed protection. But the core of the values of the Black Panthers were, you know, feeding our own people, making sure kids are going to school with food in their stomachs. And so basically doing what the government has been neglecting for black people for years, and it's similar to what we've seen in the social rebellions in prisons. People are just wanting basic needs. I mean, just wanting to serve their time without hostility from guards, just from, you know, basic things like toilet paper and decent food. So when you really talk to people that, you know, that are currently in prison or formerly incarcerated, and I'm same way with Black Panthers, this is really, once you really get to the meat of it, when you really have these conversations, people are just fighting for basic human rights.
And as far as prison strikes, that's something that's happening currently, prisoners going on strike. And I know that's something you have been talking about. Kadeem, fill us in with what you know about that, please.
Okay, so basically the National Prison Rights Strike now is occurring. It started on September 9th. It's the 40th anniversary of the Attica Social Rebellion in Attica Prison. And so they really took that time to say, you know what, 40 years later, a lot of incarcerated people are still asking for the same type things that the people in Attica were asking for. So, and plus, when you look at, that's why I think the documentary did a really good job. When you look at the capitalistic structure of how prisons are ran, the fact that you have so many men and women working for, you know, cents for hours, right? Working jobs for different companies, making companies huge amounts of profit while getting slave wages for it. I think this documentary really opened up that door to have that conversation as well. So that's a big reason why you have this national prison strike that originally started in Holman Correctional Facility in Alabama through the Free Alabama Movement, or FAM. And so you really have people essentially fighting for basic things that we take for granted on the outside. I mean, how can you expect people to be content with working for cents, literally like pennies on the dollar for long days of work?
And so one other thing I wanted to touch on now, with you being an organizer for Black Lives Matter, a lot of the attention that comes out is against police in particular, obviously because of the police shootings. This documentary kind of draws some connections that go deeper into the systemic injustice of the legal system. Is that something that you think Black Lives Matter is adequately addressing, this idea of the more systemic institutionalized racism?
I believe so. So one of the many things that we have in Black Lives Matter, one of our many principles, is that all Black life matters, including incarcerated people. So when you look at just the racial disparity within prisons, the fact that you have so many Black men, women, and queer and trans people that are incarcerated, this is a very much a Black Lives Matter issue. And so we're actively fighting that. I mean, going back to what you were saying earlier, I consider police brutality and mass incarceration in my opinion, it's the same monster, right? It's all a system dedicated to the criminalization of Black people. So you have police brutality, you have corruption in police and how we police Black bodies. You also have the legal system, where you have 95% of people that are taken up by the police, who are arrested by police, take plea deals. And so you have a flawed system in that regard. And you also have mass incarceration, or storing of Black bodies away from society. So it's pretty much a process in how the criminal justice system is continually working on criminalizing Black people. And a lot of people think these issues are just national, but it's really much local. In Champaign County, there's a referendum for jail construction right now, and we're currently fighting that. We have a one thing I really want to stress is that we're having a rally against this proposal. We're having a rally on October 29th from 1 to 3 at Douglas Park. And so people want to go and get more familiarity of what's going on within our own backyard when it comes to mass incarceration. We encourage people to come and just show support for that.